Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, shit.
I said, motherfuck you, motherfucker. I said, it's cold outside.
It is February 11, 2015. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always. Couple things to talk about tonight. Probably it's not going to be a tremendously long show, but, you know, I got a couple things to talk about for sure. Just got finished putting in a banging-ass leg workout tonight. It was legit. I you know, pretty much decided lately. And, you know, I've been definitely going into the gym. And, you know, it just gets more and more intense for me because my race season starts in April. So now we are, you know, about 2 months away, a little more than 2 months away from my first and biggest race, because my biggest race this year will actually be my first race this year. And tons of tremendous, you know, obstacles, you know, no pun intended with the obstacle races, but I have a lot of tests that I'm going to put myself through this year for sure. But my first race being the Spartan Beast is going to be badass. So I'm putting myself through some serious shit, as usual, in the gym, but I've really, really been focusing on just beating the living shit out of my legs the past couple of weeks because, you know, I pretty much have this window. And, you know, within February, March, I can just beat my fucking legs so I barely function normally, you know, on a day-to-day basis where my legs are just, you know, but then once it gets to April, I got to start, you know, conditioning for sure, but not putting like crazy beatings on my legs because when it comes right down to it, that fucking, you know, I need, you know, every bit of strength and energy I'm going to have for that fucking mountain burning over there. That's a bad motherfucker. So, you know, whatever it is, 12 miles or so of, 12 mountain miles of the Spartan Beast. So I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, intense stuff. Actually did my highest reps with my max has been, and I know now that I've got it for 10 reps, I know that I can max more than that. I just haven't done it yet. Maybe that'll be next week or a week after, one of the two. I'll figure it out. But the highest I've hit on the leg press, which just continues to impress me because, you know, like, I always have to put, like, a disclaimer. Like, I know there's people who are outlifting me that are putting up more weight. I'm not trying to say it on some kind of platform, like, look at me, I'm fucking pushing the most weight in the world. Like, I'm just a 160-pound dude who was never really about this type of shit. You know what I mean? And I just continuously push myself further and further. And, you know, March, I'll be 37 years old. And for the first time in my life, I'm the strongest I've been in my life. You know what I mean? So I can't help but smile at my accomplishments as I, you know, upgrade. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It excites me to see, you know, 160 pounds. And my leg press is at 659 pounds for 10 reps today. My highest, I think I hit for like 5 reps previously. That same weight is 5 reps. So that's, I think, the machine's 119 pounds. And then that's 12 45 plates on there, 6 on each side. So, yeah, I mean, I was just really, really happy with that. That was after, I did lunges and squats and, for the most part, I'm still scared of the squats. I'm not trying to fucking twist out my motherfucking back because I've never been confident about that. I've had lower back problems where I had back spasms and shit and, just torque my whole fucking back. Like, I remember this was about 2 years ago now because it was just before I stopped drinking. And it was my last, like, spurt of drinking, because right after the 4th of July holiday is when I quit drinking. So I had my 4th of July party, and during my 4th of July party, my back was completely fucked. Like, I was walking fucking sideways. Like, the running joke all day was, like, look at this motherfucker's back. We were taking pictures, and people were, you know, leaning to the side to imitate my back and shit. You know, I was drinking, so it was completely numbing the shit out, so I didn't fucking feel a thing. It didn't matter to me, but my shit was fucked up. I couldn't stand straight. I had to go for chiropractor shit. I had to go like 3 or 4 sessions chiropractor, which sucks because they help you a lot, but you know, at $40 a pop copay, man, you know, that's fucking $160 for 4 sessions just to straighten your shit out. So it's like, oh, this problem right here will cost me $160 cash. That sucked. And especially when they're like, hey, I want to see you tomorrow. I want to see you tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. I'll see you in the morning. Like, that's in like a fucking week. You know what I mean? And that's, I don't know. It's not always easy to come by. So, you know, depending on what you, you know, kind of bills you got to pay that week, that's just rough. I don't have a GoFundMe. So, that was rough. And, you know, I've had these problems with the lower back, so the squats always scare me and shit. I even had that same kind of thing go on to a lesser extent. It wasn't quite as bad, but it was still bad where I needed a couple sessions to straighten the shit out. The week before my first Tough Mudder, I had that shit happen and went and did the fucking Tough Mudder a week later and was fine. But, it worries me. And I've even, when I started fucking around and started really going to the gym and getting serious, you know, I was doing squats and I was trying to up my weight here and seeing what I have. And I, you know, you could see the mirror in front of you and I could see my back turning that way. You know, I don't have somebody there to like spot me and maybe help try to keep my back straight or anything like that. So like all on me, you know, I got the back brace or whatever, but it just fucking worried me as far as it, because you could see my back kind of turning that way. And, you know, once you feel that fucking pain go through your back, I mean, you could barely walk standing up straight. You know what I mean? You're fucking hunched over. Your shit's all crooked to the side. Cost me fucking $40 a pop just getting a chiropractor and shit. So I could do, like, so much more strengthening of my legs and on the different things, like, through, you know, and through time, I'm hoping to get everything stronger, so that way it is easier to do that type of thing. But as far as like pushing the biggest weight, to me, I feel the most comfortable with leg press. Like my back pressed up against the, you know, the pad there, I can load the fucking plates on, you know, back brace on, and I feel just safer about shit. You know, and you know, people might think that's pussy shit or whatever the case is. I don't give a fuck. I really don't, because at the end of the day, if I'm the strongest I've ever fucking been, and I'm accomplishing what I want to do, and I'm walking around not hurt, that's what's most important to me. So, it is what it is. So anyway, like I said, I'm, you know, I'm doing like squats and shit, but just grabbing like the 100-pound barbell, you know, that I walk up the stairs with, walking up the stairs, doing squats and lunges with that shit, you know, and then that I don't have to worry as much. I can go all the way to the fucking ground, you know, squatting, lunging, fucking step ups on a thing. But, you know, walking lunges, the whole shit, you know, those, like, side squats or side lunges, whatever you want to call them shits, doing those, you know, bring the shit back down the stairs. And then that's when I went over and started hitting the leg press. And I did, I put four plates on each side, did 20 reps. Then I stepped it up to five plates on each side, did 15 reps. Then I brought it down to, you know, six plates on each side. As I hit 10 reps, said, all right. So went over, started doing my leg extensions and, you know, all of those machines too. And, I did box jumps and, you know, running up and down the platform and shit while I was up there too. So, like, a bunch of different shit, man. I fucking went into there. So I was happy with it. On the side of pre-workout stuff, because I've tried a bunch of different things, I tried Shatter. I went through a container of that shit, and honestly, I didn't like it. It gave me a little bit of the jolt, you know, a little bit of that energy. Not terrible, but I don't think I would get it again. It was a little more expensive. Initially, when I saw it, it was crazy expensive, but what I ended up getting, it was just a little more expensive than normal, which would have been fine if it showed up, you know, if it acted like it was a little more expensive. But it didn't to me. My definitely, I followed that up with Wired 4. Let me double check on the exact wording of that. I don't know if it's 4 Wired or Wired 4 or whatever the fuck. Yeah, Wired 4. This motherfucker is off the this shit is off the hook. Definitely fuck with this. This will give you the same type of feeling of like the C4 stuff. But this will, I don't know. To me, it seems like it takes less because it's, you know, two scoops in it, and it got me feeling all fucking wired, so to speak. So I highly recommend that. I also definitely recommend that Bull Nox, though. That shit, it's different. That's all I could really say as far as, like, I know I keep saying that, and I don't know if that's too vague, but try it and you'll know what I'm talking about. I always take over the fucking recommended dosages, you know what I mean? But be that as it may, do what you're comfortable with, do it so you feel it, and then, yeah, I didn't recommend that shit, but, and then, yeah, I mean, that shit just gave me some real late workout strength, and it doesn't have that same fucking tingly feeling like the C4s, like the Wired 4s, but it definitely gives you some late workout strength. That'll kind of surprise you. I recommend it. It's got some testosterone boosting agent or some shit in there too, so maybe that's what's doing it. But you know, I just more or less googled, you know, top workout things, and there's a couple sites that like ranked them, and there was at least one or two that put Bull Nox at number one. So I said, fuck it, order a container, go through it, see what it goes, you know. And yeah, I really like that. So it's good right now. Doing the Wired 4 stuff. I haven't hit the C4 up in a minute. I've gone through the Shatter and the Bull Nox and the different things, so maybe I'll hit C4 next and go back to Bull Nox or some more Wired 4 or some shit like that. But I like to have, you know, 3 or 4 of them. You cycle through, and that way you don't get too used to it and adjusted to it. So yeah, there's that. What else? Broads in the gym, man. This shit is crazy. Sometimes you know, and I'm always, I try to be as polite as possible. I try to get as far out of people's way as possible. Like, my etiquette is pretty on point as far as, you know, I try not to fuck up anybody else's workout, and I expect them to do the same with me. If I see someone waiting for the machine, I'm not going to rush because it's my workout too. But I just feel like the way that I train to begin with, it's not holding people up. If it's taking me a long time because I'm training, it's because I'm training. I'm not going to be just naturally, whether there's someone waiting for me or not. I don't have these crazy long rest sets where I'm fucking texting people and fucking playing games and shit. Like, these motherfuckers, I'm over here, and the shit that pisses me off the most is when they're on, like, a three-person fucking rotation, and all these bitches are taking rest sets. I'm waiting for this is last week. I'm waiting for the, Jesus Christ, calf raise machine, right? And this was at the end of my leg workout. Last thing I was going to do was the calf raises. And I love the fucking calf raises. I could do the whole machine. It's like 400 pounds and shit. I got some pretty big fucking calves. I don't know. I've always had strong calves. So I'm going to do this, and I see there's three chicks there. So these bitches have, I think, 20 or 40 pounds on the fucking calf raise. That's it. Pin stuck in the motherfucking, I want to say 20 pounds for Christ's sakes. I really think it was 20. It was 20, 40 at most, but I want to say it was 20. So I'm like, whatever, okay, you know. Again, it's your workout too. I don't give a fuck, man. Do your thing. There's three of them. Three of them. These bitches would do five reps. Five motherfucking reps. And then the one would get off of there. No rush. No rush at all. They see me fucking standing there. No rush. And, I'm back a little bit. I ain't breathing down people's necks. So, again, I'm trying to be polite. No fucking rush. The three of them, cell phones out, staring at the cell phones. You just see their fucking mouths moving. I don't know what they're saying because I got the fucking headphones going, continuing to get fucking amped ready for my shit. You know what I mean? I need to see their mouths moving and laughing and rolling their eyes and fucking fingers tapping away on their phones. Then eventually, another bitch gets in there. She does five reps with the fucking 20 pounds and then gets off. All three of them are on rest sets at the same fucking time. I understand if two of the bitches is on their phone while the other one's doing reps, but all three of you motherfuckers is like, they might as well have been texting each other. It was like a comedy sketch. Shit was crazy. They might as well be standing in a triangle texting each other while somebody else is waiting for the motherfucking machine. Look at this motherfucker right here. They probably were. Because then, you know, I'm getting more and more irritated because this was like at least 10 minutes of this bullshit where the weight didn't go up, the reps didn't go up, their enthusiasm about the situation didn't go up. And finally, they get done, and the one little bitch turns around and goes, "It's all yours," and looks at me like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, she kind of gives me this shit, like, you can stop fucking waiting now, asshole. It's just like, thanks. You know what I mean? Like, all I can do is thank her, because it could get ugly otherwise, man, because you want to say some real rude shit to these bitches. And it doesn't make any fucking sense. I wish there was a separate part of the gym for people who have no enthusiasm about what the fuck they're doing. Like, this is the, you know, you're about this shit part of the gym. And then this is the take your time, we got all day, pedestrian, fucking lazy. I said I was going to the gym, so at least if I'm standing in the building, that counts, part of the gym. That's, you know, I showed up with my girlfriend. We work out with the same weight, take long rest sets, and fucking talk about our love life together, part of the gym. Get the motherfuckers over there, because I'm about tired of waiting for fucking to do continuous sets. And I take my little fucking rest periods, but that shit is not excessive. You got two, three motherfuckers together putting in ridiculous amounts of rest period, way more rest than they're doing work. Shit is fucking crazy, man. And I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. Like I said, I know there's people who could outwork me or whatever the case is, but, I mean, I'm trying to be polite, and there's a point where you're just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, you doing this shit on purpose or what the fuck, man? And this shit is crazy. I'm going to start filming these motherfuckers because I ain't got shit to do but wait for these motherfuckers. And there's some machines that's the only one. You know what I mean? So it's like, you get off of there or I can't do that. And shit just makes me mad. So there's that. So Seth Rollins got caught out there, huh? So apparently he was cheating on his girl. And I guess she found his phone or hacked his account or some kind of shit. And found a picture of the new chick. And there was, you know, a naked picture of her. And she sent that shit out. So her picture was out there. Then she followed that up with, I guess, pictures that Seth Rollins had on there with his dick out. And, you know, full body, face in the picture, dick out type shit. Now, I ain't mad at the dude because, I mean, this is the type of shit that goes on these days. And he just got caught out there, you know, cheating on a girl, and he's the type of dude to have dick pics in his phone and shit. My thing is this, and again, I'm not like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? I don't understand the dick pic thing to begin with. Like, I don't understand where that's like, especially the motherfuckers that use it as a pickup line, where, like, they're trying to get with chicks who they don't even know, or they're just trying to get with somebody, and they use that as a, like, here's my dick. Like, I don't see where that would work. And then on the other side of things, I kind of get that, you know, body pictures, you can show off a lot of your body and shit, you know, teasing type shit. I don't quite understand the here's my dick pic. You know what I mean? Same thing is, like, I think if a chick was sending me, like, a picture, like, spreading their pussy open, I don't think I would like that. I don't think that would be, like, attractive. I mean, you could see titties and ass and this and that, and, you know, tease this, show a little of that, touch a little, grab a little, you know what I mean? Do different things that'd be hot as shit, but I don't think, like, just all of the pussy would be a turn-on. And I feel like it's the same way with the dick. I mean, I wouldn't fucking know because there's nothing that a dude could do in a picture that's going to do anything for me, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I've never really understood the dick pic. I've never been the type of dude, you know, I think if a chick was like, I really need to see your dick in a pic, and we're like, well, we need to get together a lot sooner because that's the only way that shit's going to go down. It's really not going to come across in a picture because I'm not feeling that. I don't know. It just seems like a weird fucking thing to me. I just don't see that as, like, a super attractive way to go about things. You with a girl, she knows what your dick looks like, and it'd be a lot better if, you know, she was looking at it right in front of her, you know. I mean, I don't know. She's crazy. But, so I guess there's going to be repercussions. The new chick is an NXT chick, so she's probably going to get shit canned. I wonder if Seth Rollins is going to get de-pushed. I don't know. I just think it's a fucking shame, man, because as pedestrian as it is at this, you know, like I said, people do this shit. This is like a regular fucking thing these days. But, you know, Triple H just got fucking done last week on the Stone Cold podcast talking about China won't be in the fucking WWE Hall of Fame because people can Google her and find some shit. Now, you got a guy standing next to Triple H in the ring that you can Google and find some shit. I mean, again, you know, it's such a common thing these days that there's a lot of motherfuckers you can Google and find some shit on. You know, WWE Hall of Famer Sonny. Go Google that shit. She's already in the fucking Hall of Fame. So what are we talking about? But, I don't know. And obviously, you know, China and Triple H is, you know, a little more personal than he made it out to be. But, it is what it is. You're going to maintain some kind of image and, reputation, and you know, you want to portray yourself in a certain type of light. Next thing you know, fucking a week after you were saying that, another dude's got his dick out on the internet. I know, and it is a little bit different than, you know, putting out a porn on purpose, you know. But I don't know. I hope it isn't too fucking earth-shattering for the dude. The dude really turned the corner. That fucking three-way pretty much solidified his ability to come off as a face, man, because they keep putting out that type of product with him. They could turn him face in a hot second. And, you know, they already had, like, such a tremendous push on him that I just, oh, man, I hope this shit doesn't completely derail it. WrestleMania is fucking two shows away. You got this Fastlane nonsense, and then you got fucking Mania. And, you know, prior to the little dick pic situation, you know, you could pretty much put Seth Rollins in one of the main matches. Definite. I mean, there's a definite putting Seth Rollins in one of the main matches at Mania. And you know he's going to fucking kill himself. So it sucks because it takes away a lot of the entertainment value of, you know, a Mania match with him if now all of a sudden he's deep pushed and they're trying to bury him on the biggest show. You know, I'd say the majority of wrestling fans tonight are watching NXT. I am not. Not because I'm not super excited about this, because I am. I'm not trying to watch it live, you know, mostly because I would be way too distracted trying to do this and that at the same time. Plus, I barely like to watch anything live anymore. It's all DVR'd and fucking recorded and stuff. Every once in a while, I'll watch something live. But, yeah, so I'll definitely be watching that tomorrow. That'll be my tomorrow deal. But I'm very excited to see what Steen Generico does and what else they got going on that card, because NXT, man, they're just fucking killing it. What else? Let me see. All right, let me take a break, come back, talk about some stuff. I don't remember which fucking song I played last week. I'm pretty sure I know which one. I put up three Cassidy joints, and I played one of them, so hopefully the other two I play tonight won't be the same. But there you go.
I got Molly Stones, Patron, and Zones of that forest.
Niggas done started some.
Tired of whack cats rapping, I'm back snapping on rap bars.
Niggas done started some.
Yo, they know they scared of cats, they trash, they rap garbage.
Niggas done started some.
Hey, the way I murder beats, I'm surprised I ain't catch charges.
Niggas done started some. Niggas done started some. Niggas done started some.
Don't start what you can't finish.
Niggas done started.
I drink liquor, twist a lot of doubt.
Yeah.
I got a woman now, but took a lot of women down. Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
You had sex with me, it's like the UFC.
Yeah.
I give a chick the two until she quit like a submission move.
Ooh.
You dudes just confused like a transvestite. Grown men moving how bitches move.
Yeah.
And you the type to get your dick removed. Your implants and butt shots to suck cock. You a vicious dude.
Yeah.
You ain't get the news, I got plenty bars. Like when you go to jail, I'm like a hotel, too many bars. You cats can't rap, I write a damn rap fast. Like you say, boat when I'm getting on a damn track. But damn that, you cats finished saran wrap, cause you soft and hang around pussies, damn pack. And I be riding a damn track, Amtrak. So you know that I'ma blow like them Taliban.
I got
Molly
Stone,
Patron, and Zones of that forest.
Niggas done started
something. Tired of whack cats rapping, I'm back snapping on rap bars.
Niggas done started something.
Yo, they know they scared of cats, they trash, they rap garbage.
Niggas done started something.
Hey, the way I murder beats, I'm surprised I ain't catch charges.
Niggas done started some.
What?
Niggas done started some. Niggas done started some.
Don't start what you can't finish.
Niggas done started some. Niggas done started some.
You started and I'ma end it.
Oh,
I'll leave your body floating in the ocean like a beach ball. You sweet dog, jump, jump, then if you a leapfrog. My homie Will said you need to bite the leash off. You a beast, dog. You need some meat under your teeth, dog. I'm like you right, nigga. I'm a bite, nigga. Take a life, nigga. I ain't a racist, but I don't like niggas. I'm like, screw you. I'm a pit. You a fucking poo. Eat you up quick like a cup of noodles. Yup, it's truthful. That's something you could fucking Google. Hear from me first and then go do your research. I bear arms like a t-shirt, cause I'm from a wild block and got more beef than a halal spot. Y'all niggas not tough, I let the 40 cow pop. Y'all niggas dial cops and get a nigga locked up. I'm guapped up, it looks like my pockets knocked up. I flip work, pockets fat like they bout to get
Molly stones, Patron and zones of that forest.
Niggas done started something.
Tired of whack cats rapping, I'm back snapping on rap bars.
Niggas done started something.
Yo, they know they scared of cash, they trash, they rap garbage.
Niggas done started something.
Hey, the way I murder beats, I'm surprised I ain't catch charges.
Niggas done started something. Niggas done started something. Niggas done started something.
Don't start what you can't finish.
Niggas done started something. Niggas done started something.
You started, then I'ma end it. Everything you hear in this dope. I'm hotter than a fat man in the steam room wearing a coat. That there was a joke. But on a more serious note, my money dirty after I count it. I use antibacterial soap. Listen, niggas and the bitches love me. I'm on World Star, no video, just audio and a picture of me. They gon' be mad when this song stops, cause they ain't hear no bars like this since this original song dropped. Yo, this song hot. So hating on me or be dumb, like wearing short shorts and some long socks. I'm on fire, I don't need no light. So I know cats gon' have this track bumping like mosquito bites.
Right.
I got Molly stones, Patron, and zones of that forest.
Niggas done started something.
Tired of whack cats rapping, I'm back snapping on rap bars.
Niggas done started something.
Yo, they know they scared of cats, they trash, they rap garbage.
Niggas done started something.
Hey, the way I murder beats, I'm surprised I ain't catch charges.
Niggas done started something. Niggas done started something. Niggas done started something.
Don't start what you can't finish.
Niggas done started something. Niggas done started something.
You started, then I'ma end it.
All right, I'm back. Kanye at the Grammys. Well, first off, the Grammys, man, I have never seen, maybe I just haven't paid attention, but I've never seen more dudes live commenting on the Grammys like they're watching fucking football. I mean, what is this pussy shit, man? The only reason I know about shit is because enough people talk about it afterwards and then the clip showed up online. I don't know anything about sitting here watching the motherfucking Grammys. I don't know anything about that. But anyway, Kanye West pulled another one of his deals. Now, initially, if it just stayed at him walking up on stage when Beck wins the award, fine. You know, and he just did it kind of, and he did it in a way where that alone would have been just funny. Because it was like, you know, oh, call back of this shit, you know. Look, here he goes. And then he kind of walked back off like, nah, I'm just playing, you know. And that was like, to me, you know, that would have came off as funny. And I actually would have liked the dude a little more just because I would have said, oh, man, look at him. He's poking fun of his own shit, you know. And, there was the after thing. And fucking Blog Talk would not let me upload anything tonight. Luckily, I had a couple songs from last week. But so I'm going to do it the dirty way and just try to play it and hold my goddamn phone to the speaker. So hopefully you guys could hear this. But this was what he said afterwards. After, you know, you kind of thought he was joking. You thought he was just doing the thing to do the thing. And here he goes.
Yeah, I just learned that the Grammys, if they want real artists to keep coming back, they need to stop playing with us. We ain't gonna play with them no more. Not Alex, Beyonce Video, and Vic needs to respect artistry, and he should be giving it more to Beyonce. And at this point, we tired of it, because what happens is, when you keep on diminishing art and not respecting the craft, and smacking people in the face after they deliver monumental pieces of music,
Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
Now, you already know jerk-off of the week is Kanye West. My deal is this. This fucking guy goes on there and acts like Beyonce is some upcoming new fucking artist, underground artist that's never got her due, and he's trying to put her on. He's trying to be the white knight and run to the rescue of one of the most popular motherfucking artists on the planet. She couldn't be more fucking commercial, and he's talking about the fucking Grammys trying to commercialize shit by giving Beck his fucking due. Beck's been around this motherfucker since the 90s, and the motherfucker never won best album. You know what I mean? So that becomes the problem. That becomes the deal where, let me let this joint finish, and then I'll get back to what I'm saying. Go ahead, just a fucking
you fucking fuck.
Start him off, you got a gun, fucking shoot him in the face.
Yeah, basically, now I ain't even heard fucking Beck's album. I never heard the shit, but I know the dude back in 95 put out that Loser song. I thought that song was good. Other than that, but listen, I mean, the dude, you're talking about artistry and disrespecting artists and creativity and blah, blah. He should have just handed her the fucking Grammy because of such and such. First off, let me just, because I had to look up some of this shit, but let me run down. This is Beck's deal here. He plays the following instruments. He sings, he plays guitar, keyboards, bass, drums, harmonica, percussion, so I guess more other shit, a sitar, banjos, slide guitars, 12-string guitars, glockenspiel, vocoder, I don't even know what the fuck that is, kalimba, I don't know what the fuck that is neither. Melodica, he plays like three instruments I never heard of. This motherfucker's so talented. And then he beatboxes too, apparently, to his credit there. But the dude has been doing this shit since 95. He's been around this motherfucker. This dude has, what the fuck, I forgot to copy that other meme that I had. But the dude has done tremendous things. He's been around fucking forever. Both Kanye and Beyonce have won more awards than this dude ever did. What the fuck kind of what kind of pussy does fucking Kanye have to be that Beyonce's album took him to an emotional place? Like, what kind of fag you gotta be to be like, Beyonce's album, man, just took me to an emotional, what kind of bitch ass motherfucker? I mean, here's the thing, man. I understand there's people out there that enjoy people that get people riled up, you know, more or less life heals. I understand people that like what Kanye does because it gets everybody pissed off and gets everybody all fucking, you know, I understand that side of things. Those same people agree with what Kanye's saying, you know what I mean? Because the bottom line is, if it was you, and you worked your ass off and accomplished things, because that's the thing. He's acting like the Beck put out a record that was full of fucking fart noises, and, you know what I mean? And he just, like, fucked around, and he's pretty much stealing his shit from Beyonce because he didn't work hard on his shit, and he might as well give it to her because otherwise it's disrespecting real artists. It's like, whoa, what the fuck you think he did? You know what I mean? And again, I don't know the dude's fucking record. Apparently, the shit was big. It was one fucking best album and shit. So, but he's shitting on another artist talking about respect and artistry. I mean, that shit, if it was you, anybody out there worked hard, been doing this shit for fucking 30 years, 20, 30 years, whatever the fuck, 20 years, and, yeah, you've been in the business 20 fucking years. You finally get this huge accomplishment, and this other dude is calling your shit trash and saying that you should have handed it to somebody else who's been accomplished this shit before. And, I mean, that there's no way you'd just be cool with that shit. Like, well, yeah, look at him. He's making people mad. That's cool. And I honestly think it's a huge racist thing. I honestly do. Because I don't think that for one second he'd jump up there and fucking, Bruno Mars won the shit instead of fucking Beck, I don't think he would have jumped up and said, fuck that, Beyonce's album was better. You know what I mean? I really, really don't. I think it was anybody with color, he would have just sat there and kept his fucking mouth shut. And, you know, he's doing his little bullshit afterwards interview when he's married to the fucking, the most successful hoe in the history of hoedom. This bitch is just standing there, just staring, blinking, just looking stars in her eyes, just staring at him like he's saying the most profound shit ever. She's one of the dumbest people on the fucking planet. She's famous for fucking Ray J on camera. That's what she's fucking famous for. And that's the motherfucker who's co-signing his bitch-ass opinion. So, I mean, you look at what the fuck he's putting out there. Look, I like his music. I'm a fan of Kanye's music. Not all his fucking music. That Paul McCartney song could kiss my ass. Fuck that song. But there's a lot of Kanye music I like. And there's Paul McCartney music I like, too, so don't get it fucked up. I mean, you know what I mean? It goes both sides. That song is bullshit. But it doesn't make any fucking sense. At this point, I really think they should ban him from the fucking Grammys. If he wins anything, mail it to the motherfucker because he don't know how to act. He don't know how to act, and it's not part of the show. You could even see when he first walked up there, Jay-Z shaking his head like, oh, no, man, don't do this shit. And then he laughed because he just thought it was a joke. You know what I mean? Jay-Z's not going, dog, go, dog. Yeah, stick up for my poor wife hasn't got her due yet. You know what I mean? Jay-Z's a professional. Kanye's a dickhead. I mean, he's an absolute dickhead. And, I mean, I've seen a lot of people saying, dude, if I was up there winning an award, this dude stepped onto the I'd fucking knock his ass out. That's what somebody needs to do, for real. And I wish, you know this one white motherfucker he didn't play with? Rap album of the year, Eminem. Let him step onto that fucking stage and watch somebody get lyrically destroyed for the next year and a half. For real, because I wish he would step on Eminem's toes and start talking about another rapper is better and this because he's white. Because I'm telling you, Eminem would fucking annihilate that dude on the fucking mic. And that's my next topic, is Eminem. Eminem wins Best Album of the Year, and I saw a little bit of backlash, not quite the Kanye backlash, on Facebook and whatnot. And it's weird because people would say, like, I like the album, but oh boy, Eminem's winning Album of the Year. First off, that fucking album is crazy. Now, I mean, it wasn't the hardest, you know, rock out beats and shit. My biggest criticism of Eminem is he likes to play the goofy card a little bit too much. He plays a little bit too much of the goofy kind of attention-grabbing card, you know what I mean? Stock value type thing at the same time, but just, like, not as serious, you know what I mean? He doesn't really go for as much, like, hard-knock fucking street beats shit. But lyrically, that dude has one of the most complex lyrical, has some of the most complex lyrical ability in the business. He's got to be easily top five, one of the top five rappers of all time. And, I mean, motherfuckers might hate on that, but seriously, talk about who your top five is and tell me that they're as talented lyrically as Eminem. You look at his records and what he's done. Again, discount the fucking goofy shit, because a lot of the goofy rah-rah, make some noises on the mic shit gets in the way, and I think that's half of why people don't take him as seriously, because he does some old goofy, you know, kid shit on the albums. But if you look at his lyrical ability and some of the shit that he's done lyrically, not only white rapper, look at fucking rapper overall. Like that fucking Rap God song. Look what the fuck he did in that shit. That fucking freestyle that he put on, I think it was on one of the award shows that I don't watch. But You can see it online. I think I played it on the show, too. I mean, just fucking amazing. I mean, the dude's lyrical ability is top fucking notch. Nothing else that was on that fucking, you know, best rapper fucking nomination thing came even remotely close. I mean, Iggy Azalea was in the best rap album category. Now, I don't dislike Iggy, but in the same token, don't even fucking play with me with this best rap album shit. You know what I mean? I don't dislike her, but I wouldn't expect to see her name show up in the best rap album category. Childish Gambino, I don't really fuck with him. Common, it is what it is with him. He is like he named himself perfectly because his rap style to me is just Common. It's real bland, it's real basic, it doesn't pop. You know what I mean? Like, he's a real talented artist, always has been. But it's almost like you can't tell one song from the next because he's got just a very Common, very basic flow. His voice is distinctive. You know it's Common when he's rapping. And again, he's talented. He's a good storyteller and all that stuff. But his voice just doesn't pop you, and he doesn't have any energy to his raps. It's just very Common. Schoolboy Q, I don't even know who the fuck that is. And Wiz Khalifa, come on, man. You got to be kidding me with this shit. So I don't think you can even debate that. Like, what album just blew that shit out of the water that anybody should be upset at that? I mean, seriously, you should really be looking at lyrical content when it comes down to rap. And fucking, if Eminem doesn't have lyrical content, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. He rips shit. So, but that's just that. And you know, it's not a, to me, there's always like a little bit of that black white thing. There's gonna be black dudes that just hate on Eminem because he's not a black dude, and there's gonna be white dudes that favor him too much because he is a white dude. I don't fall into either one of those categories. I call his corny shit corny. And, I mean, give credit where credit is due, and the fucking lyrical content, when his ability shines through like that, fuck, man. I don't know how you could deny that. I mean, you just, I don't know. I don't know how you do it. But, so that's that. But, yeah, Kanye shit is ridiculous. And, it's co-signed by the thought of all thoughts. And, you know, they all just sit there and smile and giggle because they don't know shit neither. You know, and Kanye's been around real shit, and he's seen a lot of real talented shit go on. And he's got his fucking due, and Beyonce's got her fucking due. You're not fighting for some struggling artist. You're just being a dickhead and trying to ruin somebody else's moment. And the fact that it's somebody else's fucking moment is why it's a fucking big deal. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just fucking ridiculous. Yeah, I think I'm gonna take my other break, come back, and then talk about some shoot interviews and that type of thing. I watched a handful of things actually this week. It's actually kind of surprising. I'm pretty sure I'm picking the right one now to play the other Cassidy track that I got that I didn't play yet. Hopefully, all right, here you go.
I'ma keep it a bean pencil. Life is a bitch, but I'm that bimbo best friend, though. I stay finger fucking the Nina, she a nympho. I stick a clip into the long con extendo. This shit I'm with, get it in, yo. She says she love it when I come in her face, it make her skin glow. I like the girl cause she like girls, but she love men, though. She play with the Wii Nintendo. I'm real, not pretend, yo. You know my MO. I spaz, get your ass beat like an instrumental. You ain't get the memo? I ain't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw out the urine, yo. So I don't give a fuck about not near one of y'all. I don't bite my tongue at all, I say it right in front of y'all. I'ma do my thing, nigga, spring, winter, summer, fall. Till I'm 6 feet underdog, cause I'm the underdog. 24-7, 365 each year. I don't even take a day off on a leap year. Yeah, and niggas saying that I fell off. Why is y'all niggas on my dick? Get the hell off. Cause y'all so wrong, I still make dope songs. Been this shit for so long,
long, I can't get the smell off. I still kill way beat I'm on. Used to hide money in the mattress I was sleeping on. Whipping, cooking coke in my mom's kitchen. Cutting up on the same table we was eating on. Yo, I know I made bad decisions, but fuck it, I was stuck in a bad position and I had a mission. If you actually listen, hey, nigga rapping, say trapping, but the shit ain't adding up and I'm a mathematician. They say numbers don't lie, right? But more cats say they trapped than fiends coming to buy white. A blind man can see that that's a lie, right? Believe nothing that you hear. Half of what's in your eyesight. Let me elaborate. Rappers exaggerate, fabricate, believing them a bad mistake. Cats is fake. Wait, since the accident, I got back in shape. But now, every time I put my chain on my back, at eight. That's a true story. If you ain't talking money, what the fuck in the conversation with you do for, huh? Nothing. I'll be hustling, I ain't wasting time. Cause time money, so you owe me if you wasting mine. And these hoes love Barry, but I'm married, so I let them know. I can make you come, I can't make you mine. My wife come first. So she gotta come first. You the runner up, you wanna fuck, you gotta wait in line. My wife like Regina too. She be having hoes sliding through, bodies be phenomenal. Them pretty face women, nah, I can't lie. My wife get more bitches than I do, she straight pimping. My bar's too hard for these rap cats. I'm from the school of hard knocks, no backpack. I clap gas, I cock it back. Clap, 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 clap. Blow your head off, cat stacks, fat. I fucking murk you. I keep hammers and ladders with me like construction workers. I never fall when the hand dealt. They wanna see me battle, but I ain't battling for my damn health. No. Plus, why would a giant battle with damn elf? That can't help, and I'd rather battle my damn self. I ain't never slacking, but without cheddar the chicken and better competition, it'd never happen. Who got the nerve to hate? I ain't scared to battle. I'm scared if I battle, I'ma catch a murder case. Cause them niggas can't fuck with me. If I was laying on the ground, clowns would still look up to me. Yup, and they don't even stand up to pee. The piss they sit on the toilet seat. Them balls is sweet. Look, pussy what I call niggas. That chick Nicki Minaj harder than y'all niggas. I got a 50 cal I call Tiger Woods. It'll put holes in you the size of golf balls, nigga. Y'all ball, nah, nigga, not at all, nigga. Y'all ain't getting Kareem like that dude Jabbar. Ball, nigga. You would need 10 bricks to get this car, nigga. I stay rolling with paper, I got that raw, nigga. See my diamond shining from afar, nigga. The watch a rock today, you can see from a block away. I pop the K-shells teleport. When the chopper start chopping, it sound like you at a heliport. A dead man can't tell in court. If you dump the body and battery acid, you can't smell a corpse. To keep it real, you better keep your mouth closed. I'll knock you out cold, my knuckles is like sleeping pills. So the left twice. Black both eyes, then the right and make it look like you got a nose job. I can see you niggas pussy with closed eyes. That's why I'm coming at niggas next, bow ties. Ah, if you think I ain't the greatest ever, you the biggest hater ever. I was born on 7-7, the seventh letter, my favorite letter. Cause I'm a G-boy, a real MC boy. The 4/5 pop, get rocked like a D-boy. The pound had you spinning on the ground like a B-boy. Break dancers. Man, you can't ask funny questions and expect to get straight answers. Another beat getting killed today. You can't find a rapper better than me in the whole Milky Way. The crew to y'all that I'm still sick. Got on 0 to 100 with 100 bars. All ill shit. I told y'all ain't no beat safe. I seen niggas hitting me on the social media telling me to kill this shit. So I had to jump on it. I'm in my bag right now. And I'm disappointed with the industry because these niggas is garbage. Even the niggas that used to be saying shit back in the day, they sound horrible now. I'm like, what the fuck happened? I ain't even got no inspiration. I mean, back in the day, I used to be inspired by what niggas was saying. Now I hear niggas and I get disappointed. I gotta listen to my own songs and inspire my damn self. If you wanna hear real bars, real punches, a nigga talking that real street shit, you gotta listen to me. If you listen to them other niggas, you settling for less. I'm the best. Cassidy. Yeah.
So yeah, I'll touch more. Definitely gonna go heavy on the CZW preview type stuff next week, and I'll see what goes on. You know, as far as I might try to get a guest or something. Not really sure yet. Depends on how lazy I feel this weekend. But yeah, so one thing I definitely wanted to talk about was a show that's going to go on a little further ahead than that, but I'm really, really probably more excited about the show than any other show that I've ever been to, for a couple of reasons, and that is the Jersey All-Pro Return to Rawway. It's called Awaken, and that is March 21st. And this is a week before my birthday, number one, which no one gives a shit about, but it means something to me. So check it out. There's that. Number two, of course, the card is fucking amazing. It's still shaping up. There's still things being announced. There's still a lot more to come out. But the talent on it is crazy. All the matches announced thus far are crazy. And for the first time, I am being granted the opportunity to do ringside photography. And I could not be more excited. And I'm gonna do everything in my power to not let anybody down, get some of the best shots I can possibly get, you know, and do everything I can to just help further promote the product, because Jersey All-Pro puts on pretty much the best product on the East Coast right now. I mean, you look at it top to bottom, Jersey All-Pro's an OG at doing this type of shit. You know, I've always been a CZW guy, but, you know, I continually go over to this stale, nonsense, fucking ridiculous booking the DJ puts together and just tries to force shit down people's throats because he thinks he's fucking Triple H or Vince McMahon. And he just thinks people have to deal with bullshit booking because he owns it. And again, hey, man, it's your fucking joint. Run whatever you want. Doesn't mean anyone has to like it. And you seem to think that works out in your favor, where whether they like it or not, you run your shit. But bottom line is, when other people show up and start running what everyone wants to see, well, then you're clearly outclassed. And, I mean, that's something the Jersey All-Pro does just by showing up. They were off the scene for a while. You come back, you run a phenomenal show that they just put down. And then, you know, followed up with this. I mean, we already got Azrael versus Black G's for the Jersey All-Pro Light Heavyweight Championship. And from what I'm reading, it's their first time one-on-one in the ring, which I'm surprised because they've both been around forever. I believe they've been in the ring in tag team competition, but it's crazy that these two have never actually worked a one-on-one match before, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fucking awesome. I love that G's is the Light Heavyweight Champion over there and Heavyweight Champion in CZW. You got the bad influence of Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. I like that they put the who it is after the name of the tag team, because I would have forgot that shit again. And they're up against the Bravado Brothers, which I really don't know anything about, so I'm going to have to look up some YouTube stuff on them. That I'm sure that's going to be a really good matchup. It's a rematch of the Necro Butcher and the Hooligans, who, you know, CZW drops the ball completely on not bringing in the Hooligans, but, you know, they said it's too expensive to bring them in from Ohio, or not Ohio, is it Ohio? No, I don't think so. Wherever they're from. DJ told me it was too expensive, and that's why they haven't brought them in. Jersey All-Pro doesn't seem to have a problem getting them here. So, you know, one person's loss is the other one's gain. And Necro Butcher and the Hooligans rematch against the Viking War Party, who I think are another extremely talented, you know, hardcore group, fucking brawlers. And they got the one little smaller guy that's just a fucking nutcase. Yeah, man, that's another team that CZW could definitely benefit from using. You know, they need some fresh faces. But anyway, yeah, tremendous shit. They've also announced most of the Beatdown Clan, and MVP being the leader of that, will be debuting Jersey All-Pro. And Samoa Joe will be back, and Low Ki has been announced, of course, Low Ki versus Chris Dickinson. Fucking dream match. This is going to be insane. Holy shit, I can't wait for this match. It's going to be fucking stiff, man. A lot of people, including Dickinson, were begging for Samoa Joe Dickinson, which, hey, fucking who knows? We might get that in the future, but I feel like this is even better. I mean, Dickinson has been one of the stiffest, hardest hitting, baddest motherfuckers on the indies, running around just tearing shit up. And to match him up against Low Key, a guy who has never, ever taken any shit in the ring, has always been one of the most dominant opponents to stand across from. As far as independent wrestling goes, you say the name Low Key, you know, I mean, it almost immediately draws people's attention, like, oh, shit, Low Key, fucking, you know, Sami Callihan was on fire. You heard he was wrestling Low Key, and you went, oh, shit, you know. That this is going to be one that people are going to be talking about after this show for a long time to come, I believe. So definitely, like I said, more is going to come out about this show. There's going to be more to talk about, and I will continue to do so as we get closer, but I could not be more excited for this show. It's just going to be a phenomenal event. I recommend everybody go out there and get tickets and fucking show up, you know. Rahway, New Jersey, and only one motherfucker's in Rahway to do it right, and that's Jersey All Pro Wrestling. So definitely check that out. I watched a bunch of stuff this week. I don't even know what sparked me to do it, but I did. There's a bunch of these shoots. They're called Best Friends. Best Friends is kind of a shoot, hanging out situation with Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta, or Trent question mark, however you'd like to call them. So the format is more like they can be a host, but generally they're doing it like Taylor or whatever, they're all PWG shows. I think that's primarily where they've been doing them. I think they filmed a lot of these ones that I've been watching, Bola Weekend. And so half the time, it's just a bunch of people sitting around in the room and shit. And I'll tell you, like, I definitely have some criticism about it. I don't think when the wrestlers sit around on the floor like kindergartners looking up at the people talking and stuff, it's a good look. I really don't. I think it makes you look like it doesn't look professional. I understand people, you know, fucking around, bullshitting and stuff, and I think all of that's just fine. But when you have other wrestlers who expect to be taken seriously the rest of the year sitting on the floor like fucking kindergartners being read to, I just think that looks half-assed as far as, like, their image goes. But most people don't give a fuck about their images anymore. And, I mean, the GoFundMes, the fucking sitting around, tell me a story type shit. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, man. And it's a small criticism, but it's just something that, to me, just sticks out and just kind of looks amateur, you know, as far as dudes trying to, you know, be taken seriously. So anyway, the first one I watched was Best Friends with Roderick Strong. And just to give you, like, an overall feel, too, on these things is... It's really just like these guys basically just come off like sorority dudes, like guy dude bros, you know, just like dudes just sit around, drink beers and like, hey, bro, fucking let's do this, bro. They start like, they call everything dog after a while, like they start calling beers dogs or like, oh, let me get a dog. I've drank two dogs, let me just have one dog. And then, like, they'll start talking about taking their shirts off, and they'll be like, let's pop our dogs off. Oh, let's pop our dogs off. And then they'll just be talking about a match, and it's like, oh, you know, a power bomb. And, you know, did you do the regular dog or the sit-out dog or just the regular dog? You know what I mean? Like, it becomes obsessive, and at times it becomes a little annoying. I mean, the whole thing is kind of it's kind of funny because of the randomness of it and how, like, off-cuff it is. So, I mean, they're entertaining in their own right. I'm not saying they're horrible or anything like that, but it's just, it's funny, you know, for its own reasons. Roderick... I've never seen personality out of the dude. He's always seemed very robotic in the ring. I've never seen him show personality, like, on a mic or cut a promo or anything that, like, emoted. But he had a lot of personality and all that in this shoot. He said apparently that when he named himself Roderick, he was there was the other guy, Cedric Strong, and he decided he wanted to name himself a black guy name as well, according to him. So he went with Roderick, and he pointed out that recently he's also found another guy on Twitter or Facebook by looking up the name Roderick Strong, who was a black guy, and he was very proud that he had accomplished finding a legitimate black name, seeing as there was another black guy out there years later with the same name, legitimately. Just, like I said, just, like, wacky, but, like, what you expect a bunch of sorority dudes to be sitting around doing. They're always, like, one of their key questions they ask sometime in the interview is what the method of wiping your ass is. These are the type of questions you're going to get out of them. They've also decided that they're going to pop their shirts off or pop their dogs off and tweet The Rock. So they're tweeting The Rock pictures with their shirts off at some point in each of these best friends interviews. I'm trying to explain this the best I can, but it's entertaining at times for sure. I don't like when people dip in fucking shoot interviews of any sort. Stop with the fucking dipping. Throw a fucking nicotine patch on or something. Sammy did it on his shoot. Rich Swann was doing it. I know, like, Rich wasn't, like, the main guy. Been a lot. He was dipping and shit. And it's just like, dude, it looks fucking horrendous on the fucking tape. It just does. It's a gross fucking habit. And, you know, do what you want to do. But, I mean, you're putting your image fucking out there, man. And you're fucking spitting in a bottle on fucking camera. You know, there becomes, like, this whole, like, aura, like, that's what the old school would have done, like, and it becomes okay, but I'd just really rather people start looking at themselves like fucking humans and try to come off halfway decent, for Christ's sakes. It's just, it's ridiculous. But, and, you know, again, nothing against the dudes. I no problem with the dudes whatsoever, and Swan is just ridiculously fucking, ridiculously entertaining. He really is. That dude could do everything. He's a perfect cutout, other than, you know, the fact that he's not a real tall dude. He's a perfect fit for the WWE, because he would land in whatever role they put him in and fucking kill it. I just know he would. So I would love to see that dude show up in NXT. Curt Hawkins, initially, he was another guy I watched. I watched the Curt Hawkins one. Brian Myers is what he goes by now. Initially, I just didn't like the dude. And I think why I didn't like the dude is because his good friends are Pat Buck and Kevin Matthews, who I don't like those dudes. You know, more Pat Buck than anything, but neither one of them really. I mean, the way they come off extremely immature and just like dicks. And that's their dude. They were, you know, they were on their podcast that I used to listen to. And, you know, even when he was in the WWE, they'd always talk about, you know, their dude in the WWE, Curt Hawkins, da-da-da-da. It was like their insider and all that. But so when he got released and went back on the indies, it was just like, all right, now their guy is back on the indies, and it is what it is. But So I just got, like, that bad vibe. And, again, he fit, like, right into the, like, sorority guy dude bro fucking type thing. It's just, you know, it's not like a dude that your average person would hang out with. It's, like, a different mentality. It's, like, you know, the guy that would shit in the back of your fucking toilet, you know what I mean? So when you flush the upper decker and, you know, like, that type of dude. Like, no matter how old he is, he's going to be, like, that dude. Just seems like those type of dudes, you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. It's entertaining for its own purpose, like I said. But the more I watched this dude, the more I watched his best friends, and he really was just like a fucking indie wrestling mark who got his fucking wish. You know what I mean? Who got his not his wish, but, you know, he strived for what he wanted to get and went and spent fucking, I think he said some shit like 8 years in the WWE. I think him and Trent's 8 years in the WWE. Fucking guy, like, but, you know, Roderick's there, and he's sitting there talking about, oh, remember when you had this match, this, I was in the crowd for that, and stuff like that. So, you know, he was a legitimate fan of the indies, and it's not often that you hear, like, these guys who have gone to the WWE go back and reminisce on the indie stuff that other people were doing as if, like, yo, remember that? That was fucking awesome. I was there. That was one of the coolest things. So it's really refreshing to see those type of things. So initially I wanted to dislike the dude, but I don't. I don't. Some funny shit. He explained the time where he was backstage. Him and Tyler Rex were backstage, and Triple H walked up to them and said, "You guys look like a couple of dick dancers," which to me is one of the funniest terms on the planet. And he said, "You guys look like a couple of dick dancers. That Magic Mike movie is really big right now. We're gonna turn you guys into dick dancers." So they gave him the whole gimmick of that, which, you know, Kurt Hawkins is saying that this most likely came from his buddy Kevin Nash being in Magic Mike to, you know, call him up and say, hey, you know, let's fucking get me back in there, whatever. So it was probably a ploy, you know, some future plan of working that whole thing with him in there or something. But as it were, they started, they had to go get suits. Taylor's there had to, you know, they went and got suits at Walmart. He said, apparently they have suits at Walmart. The tailors at WWE had to spend all sorts of time making them tearaway suits. And then they wanted them to change them more or less every city they went into, like new, like tearaway gimmicks. So they the company ordered special tearaway firemen's outfits, and they come in, and Kurt Hawkins goes over to Tyler Rex, and he's like, you know, we got these firemen outfits or whatever, and this and that. He's like, dude, you didn't hear? I quit earlier today. He's like, fucking what? You know, just completely caught off guard because shit, like, we're in this angle, and Vince apparently was loving it. He was telling these guys that, like, you're on the road fucking straight up, like, you're on all the TV, that's it. Like, from now on out, you're part of the main fucking product, loving what's going on here, you're set, more or less. And then he quit. They tried to apparently patch in Johnny Curtis, who was Fandango, and amongst doing it, they realized they liked Fandango doing a dancing situation, but they'd rather him be a ballroom dancer, and apparently that's where the Fandango gimmick was born, more or less accidentally trying to patch him into the dick dancer role and stumbling on that they wanted to do a ballroom dancer, and so Fandango was born, so to speak. So, you know, pretty fucking pretty interesting shit. The other one I watched was Ricochet. And Ricochet is a guy who, to me, he comes off like a Comic-Con nerd. Like, when the dude first came out, like, in CZW, he was just like a gimmick, one-trick pony type of guy. That's how he was being booked in places. That's why Zandig booked him as the double moonsault guy. Come in, do your double moonsault. We like that shit. And, you know, Chuck Taylor was more or less his counterpart that came in, and he was the funny guy, you know. So you had your guy who could wrestle and do funny comedy-type situation, and you had Ricochet, who was pretty much being booked for his double moonsault. And he was a really small dude, afro, all the thing there. And, you know, his teeth kind of stick out. And he just came off like a kind of nerdy kid. And like a, you know, he's a very small dude. Now, over the years, Ricochet has, you know, obviously had a lot of talent in him to begin with, and showed the world that he's not a one-trick pony. He's not a fucking one-move, you know, booking. This dude has turned, he won't even do the double moonsault anymore. I mean, he's turned himself into one of, if not the best junior heavyweight in the fucking business right now. I mean, he is a top-notch fucking talent. I still think I'd still probably go with Pac. But I mean, the guy is just fucking top-notch talent. He can wrestle his ass off. You know, he's gone to Japan, done all the different things he's done there, fucking Bola. I mean, just everything he's done, he's accomplished tremendous things. And he's fucking pretty jacked, especially compared to what he used to be. But when that dude opens his mouth, he sounds like the same little dude. Like, he's got this, like, hey, so that, do you guys work out or what's going on? Like, he's got this kind of, and I don't, you know, I don't have, like, a practice Ricochet impression, so forgive me if that came off wrong, but he just has this kind of, like, still sounds like a little kid. Like, he still sounds like that little dude in a big jacked up dude's body. So I don't know. It's just strange. And I mean, if you hear him talk, go look at his old pictures, and they even showed a picture of his old stuff, you know, on the interview. And then they, you know, went in, you know, and talked to him. And I'm telling you, when you hear him talk, you can't not see that little dude for some reason. He doesn't have any, speaking presence that makes him sound like a bigger, you know, serious dude. You might want to take some kind of vocal lessons or some shit, because he's got the rest of that shit. And I don't know, I mean, fuck, man. He went to that Lucha Underground and they slapped a fucking mask on him. I wonder if that's why. I know, you know, they're prone to slap masks on people. And I gotta kind of force myself to rewatch some of that shit or something. But something about it just tuned me out. You know, and it's crazy because so much of it I did like, but there was something missing that just, and since then, they've added more people that I like. And I still just like, yeah, I could watch it or I couldn't. And most times I just don't. Haven't in month and a half, something like that. Shane Strickland's part of the product now. Brian Cage is part of the product now. I don't know. I just haven't tuned in, and I don't know what it is. I don't know. There's just some form of emptiness there. I don't know if it's the personality that just doesn't come over the top. I know the production is great. It kind of, you know, it seems very episodic, but the from what I saw, the booking of it was a little one-sided. It's not a very long show, so I know it's hard to fit in all your stories or whatever, but it seemed to revolve around one story that was somewhat unclear, with Conan being like the godfather type situation and saying, oh, you know, we're training this and that, and don't mess with that guy. And it just, I don't know. It's something about it. I don't have the interest that I expected to have of it, really. And it's more that I lack time and patience. Like both of those things. So even with the time I have, I lack the patience to sit down and give it a chance, you know, even though they might put on amazing shows. So I will give it another chance. But as far as like a week-to-week thing, I don't know. I just don't feel the urge to want to. And shit, I'm sure it's entertaining a lot of people out there, and you know, good for that, man. I'm not bashing the product, really. But something about it just doesn't draw me in. I don't know what it is. Kind of wish it did. And then I also watched, it's like the history of ECW, and what they do is they pick a year, and this year was 1999, and it was through the eyes of Rob Van Dam. So they have Rob Van Dam sit down, like I said, Ron Van Dam, but Rob Van Dam, they have him sit down and go over month to month the events and how he felt about everything and this and that, and just touched on a lot of different things. This was really good. I really like that. I've been one of these guys that have said time and time again, I'm all done with the ECW stuff, enough with the fucking reinventing. But this I had zero problem with as far as a guy talking about things that happened and his feelings on different things, and he was very, very fucking open. As open as he was, I was really wishing that the format was good. It was very interesting. It had more or less where they would say, you know, January such and such. They were in this area. They put a graphic on the screen that would say January such and such. This was the event, the place it was, and then maybe like a little tagline, New Jack did this, or this happened. Like more or less what the standout moment of that show was. And then they would just go into him asking the question, like, so what do you think about this? Rob Van Dam would start going in about his opinion on that situation or that event or, you know, whatever he had to add to, you know, that date that they were asking about, and went through the entire year 1999. A couple things to take away from it, which, I mean, you pretty much knew. Rob Van Dam does not like Taz. And I, from what I hear, a lot of people didn't like Taz. He said Taz, you know, when they started with that whole Team Taz thing, they would just, like, the dude would just have all these people who were pretty much nobodies as part of Team Taz. And they would surround him like his entourage, like back in the locker room and shit. And you couldn't even really go talk to him, like, before a match or before a show. You'd have to, like, go to his entourage of people who really weren't like, legit dudes in order to get to Taz to talk to him like a normal fucking dude. And it was just obnoxious as far as Rob Van Dam was talking about. He said the FTW title was just something to boost his fucking ego, and it was completely unnecessary, and he hated it. And, he just had a huge problem with that. And there was a lot of, you know, just disrespect and boosting of his ego, and you could barely even communicate with Taz because he was too larger than life in his own mind. You know, that type of shit. He didn't get into any of that story because, again, it might have happened in another year. But New Jack has said time and time again that Van Dam smacked him in his face and he didn't do anything about it. That's one of New Jack's favorite things to do if you asked him about Taz. That Rob smacked him in his face and he ain't do shit. You know, like, so I know that happened at some point because, you know, it's continually talked about, and Van Dam even mentioning how much he didn't like him almost confirms it. There was that. I was really, really surprised to hear what a pillhead that Van Dam was. I mean, I know that's kind of the culture and what was going on in those locker rooms, but I always thought Van Dam was just like a weed guy. I don't, you know, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I thought there was no chance in hell that he could have took any other drug on the planet. I'm just saying, like, he just kind of came across as that guy, but not like a pill guy. Like, some of those other guys had their reputation of that. Van Dam wasn't that, reputation-wise, you know, from my view as a fan. And obviously I was completely wrong, and he came right out with that. I mean, that was, like, his volunteered information that he, at one point or another, was just, people would just hand you pills backstage. Like, they were just, shit was flying around in there so much that, and he was just eating pills without even asking what it was. They just fucking hand him a pill, he'd eat it, and, hey, what was that? Like, that's how fucking wild shit was. And that's, you know, that's scary shit, man, because, I mean, and he said that the thing that scared him the most is because shit was so free-flowing back there, and you just kind of dealt with it and did what you did. But when Bam Bam started shooting the painkillers, that shit scared him. And well, rightfully so. Yeah, that was surprising. You know, he told some stories, too, about how, like, you know, he was always one of the parking lot guys. He was always out in the parking lot. And one of the cities they went to, they're out there doing their thing, fucking smoking, whatever, in the parking lot. And fucking guys had to come out and say, dude, your music's playing. And he said his music was playing for probably 5-10 minutes before he had to run across the parking lot, run across the arena, fucking run down, get through the entrance and shit just to come out because the shit was playing. And he was out back fucking, you know, just crazy shit. There was that. He didn't like New Jack. New Jack was another one of those dudes that he didn't really get along much with. He said in another interview back at some point that he had called it garbage wrestling, and he said that, you know, a lot of that stuff is done to compensate for the lack of wrestling ability if you're just hitting people with weapons and walking around and stuff. And I mean, for the most part, there wasn't a lot of wrestling going on in New Jack matches, be real. You know, you wheel out a shopping cart of things and spend the entire match dancing around to your music and hitting people with things. You know, a little carving, a little swinging of weapon. Yeah, I mean, I've heard time and time again that New Jack can wrestle very, very much, so he'll be the first one to tell you, too. But I'm just saying, like, the image and style that he portrayed, you know, within ECW, for the most part, was bring things out, hit people with things, carve people, dive at some point, possibly, you know. So other guys like Rob Van Dam, who were trying to put out matches, kind of looked down upon that, you know. And Van Dam said, you know, it would make things a little bit harder for the guys who were trying to do things in the ring, because then the fans started wanting more of the, you know, hit people with something. But, you know, it is what it is. He also said that Paulie was notorious for showing up with, like, 10 checks knowing that he had 20 people to pay. So it was more or less like you had to try to race to be one of the first ones paid. Otherwise, he would tell you, I'll mail you your check because I only had 10 checks on me. Or I had 15 checks on me and there's 30 people to get paid or whatever. So you would try to, like, fucking find him at some point during the show or after the show. And fucking, you know, he would either run out of checks or you'd get to him first and maybe get your pay that night. And then he said, you know, sometimes they'd be waiting until 3 a.m. just to get paid, you know, at the arena and whatnot. So, you know, crazy shit there. Just kind of, you know, a lot of things that a lot of indie promoters get shit for, and it was stuff that Paul Lee was doing even back then. So, you know, confirmation on another thing that Bubba Ray Dudley was a dick. But, you know, he said him and Bubba would get into pretty much fist fights in the ring, because he would get a little snug with Bubba or vice versa, and they'd be more or less punching each other in the face almost every time they wrestled. So if you go back and watch Rob Van Dam and Bubba in the ring at any point, you know, they would get into just stiff fests. And, you know, they'd work it out within the ring. They would just fucking test each other and hit each other hard as fuck, and, you know, go tit for tat, and then just kind of shake it off after the match, like, okay, that's just what it was. There was never any heat or anything, but he said Bubba just kind of, like, prided himself on being a dick. Like, if you were a worker and you brought, you know, somebody with you, or you brought a new girlfriend, or somebody who wasn't immediately known, Bubba would go out of his way to just be a dickhead to that person. And, you know, he was notoriously just an asshole to anybody he didn't know. Like, if he didn't know you, and, you know, you were around the locker room, or you were around, or you came in the company, you were a new guy, he would just treat you like shit. He said Bubba was always the dick, and Devon was always the cool Dudley, which, you know, has been said a million times, so it was only another confirmation of the same thing. But very entertaining shoot. I highly recommend it. I really wish RF over there would get Van Dam in there for another shoot, because I think if this wasn't, I think this was a high spot steal. I think if this wasn't, like I said, it was a cool concept and the format of it was cool. But once you started seeing how open Van Dam was, you kind of wanted to hear more on different topics that didn't fall into 99. So I have this, like, tremendous want to see another RF shoot done, where he covers all years and controversial things and this and that, and maybe some of the inside stuff of TNA, because he's probably bound to open up about that stuff now too, which, you know, in prior interviews he really wasn't able to. So I would recommend, you know, seeing that. I have not watched the Shane Douglas one yet, but apparently there's one of him doing, I think, 94 he covers, and yeah, apparently this is a series that they've been doing for a little while. I think it's Kayfabe Commentaries that does them, actually. They're, you know, well done. And, you know, like I said, cool format, very different. So, yeah, check them out. The other thing on Best Friends that I have not seen actually come out yet, but has been put out as a teaser, is a Teddy Hart one. And this one, I don't even know if this shit's going to wind up coming out. It's teased. It was recorded for sure. But, I mean, like, you see teaser that Teddy talks about that sexual assault fucking allegations that were coming up against him in Canada. And the fucking guy is sitting there fucking blazing on fucking camera. You know what I mean? Like, just sitting there burning, fucking eyes red as shit, just baked. That's the one where you really see everybody, Juicy Product and all those guys sitting on the floor like kindergartners watching this thing. But, and it just looked wild as shit. It just looked like way out of control as far as, like, if there was, you know, authorities questioning him on stuff. And then this video could very well become part of evidence or something, because this shit just looked fucking crazy. If there was anything that's in court pending, I don't think that video is going to do him any justice for it. But I'm looking forward to seeing this shit, because if it comes out, it looks tremendously entertaining. Like I said, within that Best Friends format, it's a fucking scene. So that's what's up there. I think that's about all I got. Like I said, I'm going to go CZW heavy next week, because the anniversary show will be the weekend after this one. And looking forward to that. A lot of big stuff on that. So we'll talk some more about that next week. I'm still loving this NFL. I don't love that the NFL's over right now, but I'm still loving that the Seahawks lost the fucking Super Bowl. I'm still floating on that. One thing I forgot to bring up last week was one of my favorite things I saw after the Seahawks lost the fucking Super Bowl was a video, and the video was pulled down like within a day, but I am so appreciative that I was able to see it. This fucking kid is watching. Now, I didn't know these big fucking box, 30, 40-inch TVs, you know, like those big fucking things that are like the size of like two dressers pushed together. Like, those fucking things still exist. I mean, I actually have a big fucking 35-inch tube TV in the living room, at least for now. Until I get my new TV in my room, then I'm moving that one, the one I have here, out there, and then we'll be done with the big fucking 200-pound box TV. But, this is one of those, like, straight-up-from-the-floor fucking projection TVs. So he's got one of those joints, and he's standing there, and you can hear the TV going, "And the New England Patriots are the 2014-15 Super Bowl champions." And he starts going, "You don't throw the ball, and you have Marshawn Lynch on the one." And whoever's in the room is like, "What? What happened?" And he's like, "You don't throw the ball when you have Marshawn Lynch." And this dude runs. Full fucking body, runs and shoulder tackles himself into the fucking TV, like caves the goddamn screen in. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I wish I knew that the video was going to come down and I could have, like, fucking downloaded it off of there. I would have just kept putting it up for the rest of the fucking time. It was one of the funniest things ever. I got to, like, search for it again and see if someone put it back up, because, like, this little dickhead must have took it down because he felt like a dickhead. Like, someone must have posted some shit like, "You fucking stupid asshole." Like, they must have just belittled him to the point where he's like, "I'll take this fucking video down." But this fucking dude caves in this fucking TV and then, like, throws, like, another shoulder into it to make sure it's broken. And then there's a part two to the video where you see them in the kid's backyard, and this TV, they set it on fire. So now this TV is just burning in the yard while they're bitching about the game. You hear, like, them talking about the game in the background and, like, the memes that people are putting up already on Facebook and being mad about it. And, like, the fucking TV is just fucking burning and popping into the fucking sky. It was just fucking amazingly funny. Amazingly funny. So if I can find that, believe me, I will put it on the fucking Yakuza page. But Sadly, I think it may be gone forever. But holy fucking shit, that was funny. Anyway, check out Wrestling Soup. I believe they're on tomorrow night. Those dudes were on the Don Tony show on Monday, and they were talking about the Seth Rollins situation. So, you know, I'm sure they'll have a bunch of other things to talk about tomorrow night. They'll probably go back over that, you know, and a bunch of things. But you can check them out tomorrow night. Check out WrestlingSoup.com. I think that's where they're at. And check out the Sports Den. I believe they're on tonight. If not, check out their Facebook page. They'll keep you updated. And, you know, go check out the archives, the Stern Nation over there. Why not? We Want Blood also is on, I believe they do Sundays. Yeah. I with them, I feel like that's a terrible day for fucking podcasting. Because what happens with them is, you know, like I said, I think they're good dudes. They seem to, you know, do their thing. I enjoy what they do. But if it's an indie show that they go watch on Saturday, they do the show on Sunday, perfect timing, fine. Everything else is pretty much the worst time they can do a podcast. Because if they do a podcast on a Sunday, there's a pay-per-view, they're doing the podcast before the pay-per-view. So by the time they talk about the pay-per-view, it's the following Sunday. So, like, Monday Night Raw, they're covering Monday Night Raw the following Sunday. The day before the next Raw, I know personally, I'm fucking done. Like, I barely watch Raw to begin with, but if I watched Raw on Monday, I don't give a fuck about that Raw the following Sunday. So it's kind of hard. I think they don't do themselves a lot of justice with that. You know, I think like a middle of the week is pretty much prime for wrestling podcasts because you could preview this weekend, review last weekend. And I'm, you know, I don't want to tell these people what to do with their show. That's, you know, that's their business. But it just, you know, it loses me a little bit as far as that. Like if the pay-per-view really kind of, I just didn't give a shit anymore. Like when they previewed the Royal Rumble, by the time that show was up, the Rumble was over, and now they're previewing it. The show goes up with the preview days after the Rumble's over. So, you know what I mean? And then it's actually over a week later when the Rumble review goes up. So it's, I don't know. Just criticism. I'm not, not knocking the dudes, but I just think it's a little bit poor timing as far as when they do their show. For indie shows, you watch the thing on Saturday, you review it on fucking Sunday, man, you're on top of shit. You're right on the ball. You're probably, you know, one of the first to review the show in that format. But, you know, like I said, just honest criticism, no big deal. And like I said, check me out next week. I'll be back in this motherfucker as usual. Let me see, where the fuck is my outro situation here? My situation. Jeez. There it is. All right, check me out next week. Peace.
I don't fuck with you, yeah.
Welcome to Cold Cuts Day!